We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We gonna see him soon. You feel me?
All right, welcome to another edition of the Butting Heads Podcast, proud part of Rams Talk Radio and the Blue Wire Podcast Network, the best place to get your podcast. I'm Steve Rivera. I almost said I'm you, Johnny. Here as always with Johnny Gomez. Johnny, the draft has come. The draft is gone. How you feeling, man? Rams didn't pick till 104, but they certainly made a bunch of picks, and we're excited to get talking about all of them.
I think Steve may have just insulted himself a little bit there, but to be quite frank with you, Steve, I thought that the Rams were going to pick much lower than 104, but they ended up keeping their pick. And yeah, this was certainly an interesting draft. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, it was a rare event, too, where it feels like the vast majority of Rams fans were actually, dare I say, excited after this draft. You know, we usually come out being a pretty spicy bunch, but it seems like this draft top to bottom, I mean, all things considered, we didn't pick until 104, so expectations were a lot lower, but it feels like everybody's pretty happy. I mean, are you happy with how this draft turned out?
Oh, yeah, for good reason. I mean, all these picks, for the most part, made perfect sense as to why they got him. You may not have necessarily agreed with the exact player that the Rams ended up drafting, but at the end of the day, I think they have a better idea of which player they want over, you know, a couch GM. Just saying.
You know, man, you never know, because genuinely, I remember after the 2020 draft when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the first running back off the board, and everyone was like, in fantasy football, they were like, Jonathan Taylor is still the rookie you should take in dynasty leagues. And I was like, listen, man, the Kansas City Chiefs took the first running back off the board. I'm going to assume that they know what they're fucking doing and that this guy is the best running back in the draft, and that's the guy I would take. And that turned out to be completely wrong, and the armchair GMs were actually extremely correct. Like, you don't even want to imagine that offense with Jonathan Taylor. So you never know. Occasionally they're right, but I am with you. I will always trust less need to be better than me, but at the same time, he wouldn't have been last season.
That's true. I mean, less need does have his moments, but I feel ultimately like there, like I said, there may have been a few players at each draft selection that the Rams could have gone in a different way, but I feel like it was still logical. Like, it wasn't like a complete out of left field pick in really any category. And I think that's something different than what we've seen the Rams do in really many of the past drafts. So it's real exciting to see because at least you kind of have a formula of what the Rams are doing, and you kind of see the blueprint to, what we hope can be a repeat of last year. So that I'm excited about that.
Let's hope so, man. I mean, well, I guess, yeah, I guess I actually do like their chances are a little better coming out of the draft than I thought before it. Not by a drastic amount, but let's get into the reasons why. We'll start with the top of the top of the draft. We'll start with the second to last pick in round three, which is where the Rams started their draft. They took guard Logan Bruss or Bruce.
I've just been saying
We're
Bruss.
off to a roaring start. Guard Logan Bruss out of Wisconsin joins a line full of Wisconsin Badgers. The Rams have had a lot of success dipping into that well. Rob Havenstein, many moons ago, has been a starter for a while. And I think it was 2018 or 2019, they took David Edwards out of Wisconsin, who quickly became a starter, anchored an offensive line. He's a fifth-round pick. Bruss is a third, so he's already ahead of him in that regard. Profiles out as a guard, but seems like a pretty flexible guy. He played more tackle than guard in college. The big stat everyone's touting is he allowed just one sack in 3 years at Wisconsin on 596 total snaps. Granted, they're a rushing football school, but that's still pretty fucking good. And if they're a rushing football school, that means that'll probably be a pretty good run blocker. This is definitely, I think, we identified cornerback and interior offensive lineman as the top two positions of need going into this draft. The Rams clearly agreed with that, and that's great to see because I feel like we do not come out of these drafts a lot of time with players that we actually needed. So Bruss is a great start. To me, like reading about him, he seems like a high floor, low ceiling type guy, which is really what the Rams should be targeting at this. This seems like a great pick to me. Johnny, you're the draft guy in this pod. How do you feel about this one?
Oh, I was absolutely ecstatic about it. I mean, the fact that he was still there, this was a guy that I did not think was going to 104. So it was not really someone that I even really kept on my radar because I saw him going, still a day two pick. I still imagined him being late to early like late second round pick, early third round pick. The fact that he dropped to 104 is a big reason why the Rams even kept their 104 pick. If I'm not mistaken, I believe I read somewhere that the Rams did actually consider trading down, but was absolutely ecstatic that Bruss was there. So, hey, that says a lot right there. As far as him as a player, I mean, when you think of what the Rams really lost in this past offseason, other than obviously Big Witt, looking at guys like Austin Corbett, he left, he got paid, and no way the Rams could afford to keep everybody. And Bruss is very similar to Austin Corbett, but in some ways there are some things that maybe Bruss could eventually overthrow Austin Corbett in the future if he continues to develop, particularly in on the ground game. And I feel like that's something that we all agree on, that the Rams run blocking wasn't the greatest last year. And if Bruss can, emerge as a starter and kind of implement this run blocking that he's done so well in Wisconsin, I think that'll make the Rams offensive line better as a whole. So absolutely love this pick. I think overall this is exactly what you want to see come to the Rams at pick 104, especially because it wouldn't be a total shock if Bruss can become a starter, as soon as week one. It just really depends on how high the Rams are on Coleman Shelton. And if we're being completely honest here, guys like Bobby Evans and Tremaine Ankrum really didn't have a huge hold on this competition, it was likely going to be Coleman Shelton or bust. So I really think that Bruss is going to have this opportunity to start, and it's really his job to lose. I really believe that.
I agree. I mean, how much more game experience in the NFL does Coleman Shelton have? Does he have any?
He has a little bit of playing time, especially during the COVID outbreak. But
right.
But I mean, is it a lot? Not really.
Yeah. We'll see. That's definitely like, you know, the Rams. Like I think I just said that they came into this draft needing to add guys who could potentially play from day one at two different positions, and they did it at both. So now, really, I think Bruss versus Shelton is going to be one of the big camp battles to watch. You know, hopefully they let these guys both play it out in the preseason. Knowing Lestini might not play, or knowing Sean McVay, he might not play either of them in the preseason. But we'll see what happens, man. It's a fun pick. You know, I feel like the last couple of years, we've came out of the post-draft podcast and debated whether or not the first pick the Rams made was the right position to target. There's no debate here. I mean, clearly, like, nobody can complain that the Rams took a guard with their first pick in this draft.
Absolutely not. It's funny because I was almost expecting – well, first I was expecting a trade. But since that didn't happen, I was expecting the Rams to go wide receiver here because, you know, that's the trend in the past few years. But, you know, that never came out with a kick-ass offensive lineman, and I'm really excited about this, man. And it's not often you can honestly say that you are excited about an offensive lineman, because truthfully, it's one of the more underappreciated positions in the NFL. It's the least sexiest NFL draft pick that you can have, because they're not the flashy wide receivers or cornerbacks or anything like that. Or edge rusher, you know. So it's kind of interesting that you have collectively as a fan base, most people did like this pick. So I feel like this is something to keep in mind when, you know, training camp rolls around.
Yeah, I agreed completely. Like, you're more likely to find really a guy who can become a standout player at guard at this selection than you are edge rusher. Or even cornerback to that extent. So this feels like a money move to me. We can talk about edge rushers later. Let's move on to the next pick. Round 4, pick 142. The Rams took cornerback Dakobe Durant out of South Carolina State. Similar to what they did last year at around this time with Robert Rochelle, they take a small school cornerback with big upside. Was a walk-on in college because he had no offers after he graduated, so he eventually walked down to South Carolina State. High school, he played QB and safety, so he comes in playing a completely different position and becomes a really good player. He won Player of the Year defensively in his conference, and he was an FCS All-American. You know, an undersized guy, but, like, you read that draft profile, you know, Conference Player of the Year at a cornerback after walking onto a school. It's FCS, it's small school, but seems like a guy with high upside, a type of project player, but given the move they made basically immediately after this pick that we'll talk about in a minute, this seems like a fine pick to me. You know, I'm fine with taking a swing here at this pick. A guy who's certainly not a sure thing, but could pan out. And, you know, obviously we had Troy Hill, which we'll get to. But the rest of the mix of these guys like Robert Rochelle and even David Long to an extent, you know, we're not really sure what we have. And, you know, Durant adds just kind of another intriguing prospect of the mix that could eventually pan out and be something. I'd be pretty shocked. And you never know, but, like, I'd be pretty surprised if he had a big role in this season, but maybe he comes in and he's a star. I don't know. I do like the pick. I wouldn't say I love this pick, but I like the pick.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think here, this is where you start getting a few comments from fans, because there are a couple of cornerback prospects that the Rams could have went with here. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with the Kobe Durant, to be quite frank, but I feel like this one was a more calculated draft pick because obviously, you know, Jalen Ramsey's going to be your guy for well into the near future. And now that Troy Hill is a part of the team, which we'll discuss a little bit later, you know, that adds to this move as well. So that being said, you still have a vacancy at nickel, which this guy excels at. This is why the Rams ultimately ended up going after Dagobe Durant. And that's what people need to understand, that yes, there may have been, you know, somebody that was a little more polished, maybe had a few more accolades, maybe had better senior bowl or, you know, pro day or whatever you want to go by. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he would be a better fit for the Rams defensive scheme. And I think that's what people really need to grasp here, because in the end, that's what I feel like the Rams are targeting with all of their draft prospects, particularly at cornerback, was finding that mold for nickel, because I think moving forward, that's going to be the biggest concern overall. And while I agree with you, Steve, I don't know if Durant's going to be someone that's going to make huge waves in his rookie season. I don't know if that's what the Rams are aiming to do in his rookie season. Maybe some learn on the job, kind of like how Robert Rochelle had to do last year. And I feel like Robert Rochelle, when healthy, had his moments where he did very well and had a lot of moments where he looked like a rookie. That's perfectly fine. Robert Rochelle is a project player. And in the case of Dagobe Durant, I don't see him as a project player. I see him as the Rams trying to mold him to be exactly what he was in college. And I think in that regard, you can't help but appreciate this pick when you look at it from that perspective. If you look at it from the perspective of, well, there were better cornerbacks available, yeah, I mean, you could say that there might have been someone that might have been graded higher, whatever, if that means anything to you, which it means absolutely nothing to the Rams front office. But overall, the fit works better for the Rams with Durant.
Yeah, and like with T. Hill back, they do need a slot cornerback, and he could potentially, you know, this is why we bring you on, Johnny, because you know more about rookies than I do. He could potentially walk in there and take the job, even though it just contradicts what I just said. But a guy who walks onto a school, wasn't playing cornerback in high school, and 3 years later, he's the conference player of the year and an All-American. You know, I don't care what level you're – I mean, I do care what level you're at, but I don't care if he's not at FBS. Played great against Clemson, earned his keep. You know, this is a good player. I'm excited to see what happens. And even though, like, yeah, I don't expect him to win the slot cornerback job this year, look at the guys he's competing with. You know, it's David Long, it's Robert Rochelle, it's Dante Daone. Certainly possible. It's absolutely on the table.
If David Long is your biggest competition, I mean, no disrespect, because I feel like David Long is going to get more playing time this year over over Durant. But something to consider is I believe David Long is a free agent next year, if I'm not mistaken. If he's not, he will be for surely in 2023 or 2024. I don't remember. I know he's a free agent soon.
I think it is next year. I think after the season.
So, I mean, that's something to keep in mind. Who knows? Maybe David Long goes off this year and he realizes it's a contract year and just explodes. Maybe he benefits from Troy Hill coming back. Stranger things have happened. I mean, Darius Williams emerged as a guy that just randomly made his way to the Rams. He wasn't drafted by the Rams. So, stranger things have happened. If David Long suddenly emerges, then hey, Durant can kind of sit back and learn. Either way, the Rams are prepared, and I think that's something you're going to see a whole lot of as we continue through these draft picks.
And speaking of that, I mean, let's hit the next thing that happened in this draft. And I don't know if the Durant pick even happens unless I know it's about to happen. They go out and trade for Troy Hill. They give up a 2023 fifth round pick. I believe all the talk we're hearing, it's going to be a compensatory selection, probably the one we're going to get from Von Miller. Troy Hill, the Rams let him walk last year. He didn't sign a big contract with the Browns. I think it was 5 or 6 million. The Rams chose to spend that money on DeSean Jackson. But a year later, they bring Troy Hill right back. And they're barely picking up any of his salary, it should be noted. I think it was, what, 1.5 million the Rams are taking on? Something around that number. Troy Hill, not great in Cleveland last year. From what it sounds like, he didn't love the situation, if you read his quotes coming out. I think it's pretty easy and reasonable to expect him to walk back into the Rams locker room and be who he was 2 years ago. And that's like a decent player, a presence that was clearly missed last year when players were unavailable to play and raw guys had to step up. Troy Hill is fine as your second cornerback next to Jalen Ramsey. He was also here during Darius Williams' killer run. Maybe he was a reason for that, because when he wasn't here, Darius Williams didn't look like the guy he was when Troy Hill was here. So I'm super excited about this, man. I mean, I would say this is, even with the prospect, it's probably my favorite thing they did yesterday. They needed help at this position in a big way. When you lose Darius Williams, who wasn't incredible last year, but you don't replace him, and the poo-poo platter of guys you're replacing him with is David Long, who struggled last year. They had a pretty good playoff run. Robert Rochelle, who, like you said, had his moments, but he's a raw prospect. He's not going to be perfect. And then, you add Dakobe Durant, and those are the three, and I guess not to down, those are the four guys that are competing for two starting cornerback slots. It's one thing I was talking to my friends this week, and like the Rams had the best corner in the NFL and one of the worst cornerback rooms in the NFL, which doesn't make sense. And it would have been even more ridiculous without Darius Williams this year. And so I really fucking love this decision, man. It's a late fifth round pick. It's basically a sixth round pick. If you're a contending team, you make this move every time. Even if Troy Hill walks in the building and actually is cooked and doesn't contribute, you still don't regret making this decision. Because clearly, if you want to repeat, this is the right process you take towards repeating.
Well, by all accounts, I feel like part of the reason why Darius Williams struggled last year was because Troy Hill wasn't in the building. And that means a lot, because even when you go back to the previous year when Troy Hill was still on the team, Troy Hill may have not had the best year of his career, but he still had a hell of a year. And truthfully, he was playing out of position at times, playing as a, you know, sort of slot corner. And that was because Darius Williams had emerged. So that's something to keep in mind here as well, that I think now that you're going to get back a Troy Hill that's not only familiar with this team, this defense, but you're also going to get him back at his original position where he truly shined. I think this is going to be a huge improvement overall. Rather than, you know, having Darius Williams starting on the opposite end, will it be flawless? Will it not have any hiccups? Well, I assume there will be. I'm sure there'll be a few hiccups, especially early on in the year, but I think there'll be less than, I know there will be less hiccups than had the Rams started with Jalen Ramsey and David Long starting on the opposite end. Again, no offense to David Long, just he's not exactly someone you want to see starting opposite end of Jalen Ramsey.
No, much better. I mean, Troy Hill walks in the building as immediately the second best cornerback there, with no debate. He's starting week one. I would be absolutely fucking floored if, barring injury, they just started the other two guys. He would have to look like the worst player on earth.
And the Rams don't trade. The Rams don't trade anything if they feel like Troy Hill wouldn't immediately be the second best cornerback.
Right. And yeah, it's a shitty pick. I love the move. It was a great decision. I'm assuming, like, I know there was some talk on Twitter about the Rams' decision to add two cornerbacks back-to-back. I don't think it's an issue. This room needed depth.
No, not at all. I mean, I think it was very easy to see that of any position on this team that the Rams needed help with, it was cornerback. I mean, you might be able to say that guard was more important as an individual position, as a starting position, but overall, there was zero depth at cornerback. And technically speaking, I don't even know if Dante Deone is under contract. I'd have to look that up. But, you know, that being said, that means if that's the case, before the draft started and before the Troy Hill trade happened, you literally only had Ramsey, Long, Rochelle, and basically Scrubs. And that's a scary thought. So, yeah, they had to draft depth, and who doesn't want more competition out there? And I imagine a lot of these guys, too, will be trained to play multiple positions in the secondary. So I absolutely do not mind at all the many players in the secondary the Rams drafted.
Dante Deone, not under contract, and during the draft, probably right after the Troy Hill trade was announced. On Sunday, he tweeted, "Business or personal?" So I'm guessing he's not coming back.
Yikes.
Yeah. Next pick the Rams made, pick round 5, pick 164, Kieran Williams, running back out of Notre Dame. Fun story with him. Grew up in St. Louis. Loved Steven Jackson. Was his idol. Now he's wearing the same uniform that Steven Jackson wore, just in a different city. Maybe he could be our bridge to bringing some of those St. Louis fans back, but I don't think so. Ran in his last 2 years at Notre Dame. He had over 1,000 yards on the ground, 13 touchdowns in each season. Each one of those years, he added 300 yards in the air as well. Guy a lot of players are comparing him to is James White. He grades out really well as a pass-catching back, both actually catching passes and picking up blitzes and pass protection. You know, running back, not something I think we needed to come out of this draft with, but late fifth round, guy that clearly, you know, could have a use for us. Could be a nice pass catching back, way to spell Cam Akers if they don't feel he can truly be a three down, 100% workhorse running back. I don't mind the pick. It seems like good depth. We're gonna probably lose Daryl Henderson after this year. So if Williams pans out, nice backup to have. I'm not complaining about it.
Well, what I particularly like about this pick is this is basically the type of running back that the Rams have lacked for a long time, you know, basically since Todd Gurley. You know, now I'm not saying that he's Todd Gurley.
Oh, well, Lance Dunbar. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I guess.
He played like 9 snaps for us.
Yeah. So all that being said, I like this selection a lot. I mean, he is a third down back in every sense of the way. If he can adjust to play on the NFL level, this is a hell of a pickup, because I think what we've seen last year with Cam Akers is, while I still have a lot of faith in the guy, I mean, he came back from a major injury and played in the playoffs. And, you know, other than against the Cardinals, he didn't really have much of an opportunity to really get anything going. I like the fact that there are options now for Sean McVay to, you know, hey, if you want to send in a true third down back, you have Williams there on your depth chart to go out there and you know, maybe get that goal line touchdown that the Rams can't seem to get unless you pass it to Cooper Kupp. And that's very important, especially because if you want to repeat, you can't always rely on passing the ball to Cooper Kupp in the end zone. I know he somehow makes it happen, but it'd be good to have options there.
Well, they got Robinson now. Don't disrespect our man.
I guess that's a good point, but I like the added dimension here. I think one of the things that is kind of overlooked about Williams too is he's not afraid to block. He's not afraid to pick up the blitzes. And that's also very, very important because, as we know, Matthew Stafford likes to hang on to the football for a very long time.
Yep.
And so having Williams there could extend the play a little bit longer. So I think this is a pick that is being slept on a little bit, and not a whole lot, because I think people ultimately see his value. But I don't think everyone sees his value as a whole. As Steve mentioned, hell of a pass catcher in the backfield. And that's going to be equally important too. Really, the only thing I'm concerned about is that he's a tad undersized. But I don't think he's that undersized to the point where, you know, it's not like we're going to see Tutu Atwell running the football or anything. So, you know, I'm really stoked about this pick. I think this is going to be one that the Rams are going to be really happy with.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, man. I'm really excited to see how this dude pans out. It seems like a nice little pick. Losing my train of thought. Yeah, and yeah, I don't think anyone on the roster is a particularly good pass protecting back. Todd Gurley was a really good pass protecting back. Even that last year when he was pretty cooked, he was still great at helping pick up blitzes and all that. So the very worst, we could do that at the pro level and be excited about it. Next pick, round 6. In the same round, the Rams took Jordan Fuller. They take another safety, Quentin Lake, hometown boy out of UCLA. Johnny, I literally didn't write any notes on Quentin Lake. This is your boy. I'm going to let you tell me all about him and how excited I should be about this one.
Oh, man. I was actually, because I was actually in Vegas watching day 2 and day 3. I was actually home at during day 1, which I guess didn't matter because the Rams, yeah, have no picks there. But day 3, I'm watching it at a sports book. No, I didn't attend the actual draft because being around that many people, I'm good. But I was seeing it on TV, and then I was driving. I drove past the actual draft, and man, there was way too many people. Like, seriously, people need a little bit of elbow room, man.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I've been to the draft a couple of times, but when they used to do a Radio City Music Hall in a seated venue, and now it just looks like it's like a concert festival. With seriously, how many people are just like standing up watching? Like, yeah, like I'm sure it'd be fun for a little bit, but I think I'm good on it. It's The draft is literally what it looks like. It is people walking out and calling people's names. Like, it's a television event. No disrespect to anyone who went and had a blast, because I had fun when I went. But, yeah, I think I'm good forever.
Yeah, I had fun watching it in a sports book. That was awesome, you know. And so when I saw them call out Quentin Lake from UCLA, being a diehard Bruin fan, that was awesome, because not only is he a UCLA Bruin, but I know what this guy can do for this team. And there's a lot to be excited about for Quentin Lake, because if you like the former sixth round pick Jordan Fuller, you're going to love Quentin Lake as well. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're the same, because I do feel that Jordan Fuller was a little bit more polished than Quentin Lake coming out of the draft, if I'm being 100% honest. But I'm not going to sit here and say that he was light years ahead of Quentin Lake either. I think that if Quentin Lake, you know, develops and learns quickly, I think that this is a guy that could eventually be a starter alongside Jordan Fuller. And having two similar safeties out there in the backfield, I think will be very, very dangerous for offenses. Similar traits to Fuller, you know, a guy that maybe won't have the most athletic ability out there. He's not going to wow you with speed or anything like that, but he's a guy that can get your tackles. You know, he isn't the hardest hitter out there, but he knows how to wrap up. And he's most importantly a playmaker. One of my favorite moments, and for all the SC fans out there, they'll remember this, is when he had this, you know, game-changing pick in the UCLA-USC game. Absolutely phenomenal, because he you know, kind of batted the ball to himself. And this is the kind of playmaker you want. Somebody that can just go out there and change a game like that. And I feel like Quentin Lake next to Jordan Fuller in the future is going to be a really, really scary thing. So, I don't know if I'll say that he'll be a starter in 2022. I think we got to pump the brakes a little bit. But I think...
Yeah, you're pumping the brakes here. You just said you can't wait to see him play next to Jordan Fuller. The guy's not even a lock to make the roster.
Oh, I think he is.
No, I think he will too, but like... And the safety job, I mean, listen, like, I don't expect him to start at safety this year, but Nick Scott and Taylor Rapp are not locks, and we've learned that with Taylor Rapp already once in his career. Like, if Quentin Lake comes into camp and looks like Jordan Fuller did when he won the spot a couple years ago, he'll probably win the spot. But yeah,
and that's my point. Yeah, that is my point. You exactly pointed out what I was going to say next. If the Rams had a bona fide starter next to Jordan Fuller, like if Eric Weddle was like, you know, I kind of want to win a second Super Bowl ring, then no, I see him in a reserve role next year. But all that said, you have Taylor Rapp, who, let's be honest, he has had every opportunity to solidify his starting job. And he basically let a guy that had been retired come back and take his moment in the Super Bowl. You know, that says a lot. You don't feel confident in a guy that... You know, the Rams had to reach out to Eric Weddle and say, hey, how about you play for us? Because we're really not that confident in Taylor Rapp. I'm sure they didn't say that, but they may as well have. And Nick Scott, I like Nick Scott a lot as in terms of a guy that has overachieved what we all expected him to do. But do I want him really as a starter? Not really. So that's why I'm saying. Can I see Quentin Lake starting in 2022? Maybe. Maybe not week one. Maybe not in week eight. But I would not be at all surprised if Quentin Lake can be a starter in 2022.
Let me defend Rapp a little, just based on some of the things you said. They brought Eric Weddle out of retirement because Rapp and Fuller got hurt, right?
I guess.
But then Rapp came back. I believe he was active for the Super Bowl, and they started Nick Scott anyways and Eric Weddle, right?
Yep.
So you were like half right there, but like they didn't call Eric Weddle because they thought Taylor Rapp was a bum. That being said, you know, I think Nick Scott's going to be the day one starter this year. I don't think it's going to be Taylor Rapp. I don't know. I think they really believe in that guy.
Yikes.
And I mean, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Quentin, like, he certainly can win that job. You know, I'm not ready to say he will, but we've seen this in the last 3 years happen. So you never know. I placed a live bet on the Sixers when they were down 10 with like 8 minutes left, and now they're down 13 with a minute left. So you gotta love it. Gotta fucking love it. Why do I do this to myself?
Hey, at least your team's in the playoffs.
We can't have nice things, you know. Our MVP candidate breaks his face up 30 in an elimination game. For fuck's sake, man.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Unbelievable. Let's get back to the Rams. The next pick, they take Darian Kendrick, a cornerback out of Georgia. This is a guy, if you like read his prospect profile, he went to Clemson, right? Clemson as a cornerback. Or sorry, Clemson as a wide receiver. After his first season, they win the national championship. He contributes a little bit. They move him to cornerback, immediately becomes an all-conference caliber player, and is for the next 3 years of his career. You know, as a former receiver, like it seems like he has great recognition for routes and patterns, and he knows what he's doing when he's guarding people. He did struggle against some of the top talent, but like again, this guy who only played 3 years at the position and every year was good enough that he was named to an all-conference team. He's got some off-the-field issues. He was dismissed from Clemson after multiple, you know, off-the-field incidents and disciplinary action. He was also arrested on a gun and drug charge, but that was expunged. So, you know, by the record, he's good there, but obviously that wasn't his only off-the-field issue that happened. You know, it doesn't seem like he's going to be an elite NFL cornerback, but like to me, like you walk in, switch positions, and you're that good that you're an all-conference selection immediately, man. Like that's the type of pick that reeks of upside. And even this is the third cornerback that the Rams acquired this day. How many guys at this level have that kind of potential to where they did that? And, you know, I haven't watched enough of his film to tell you like if he's peaked or not. I certainly doubt he has. So I did really like this pick, man. I think this is the kind of like this is the kind of shot you take. I didn't feel like I already said this with the other guy, but like this is really the kind of shot you take in the sixth round if a guy like this is available, who is a high caliber and productive college player and still has like the raw profile where, you know, nobody reaches their full potential at football in their third season of playing the position. I do like this pick. You know, it's a sixth round. If he sucks or if off field implications come back, you cut him and you don't lose sleep over it. But I like this. This is one of my favorite picks they made.
Yeah, I mean, they had the draft in Vegas. Why not gamble a little bit? You know, this is a sixth round pick. What do they have to lose? At worst case scenario, like you said, you cut him. You know, would you lose sleep over cutting a sixth-round pick? Not necessarily. But if best-case scenario, if this guy can be a contributor eventually, I think this is exactly the type of guy that can be. He can surprise a few people. And I think there was just so many things that attributed to him falling all the way down to round six that the Rams could have found a gem here. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, this guy is a slam dunk pick because we don't know. I don't think anybody knows, but I do think there's a lot of potential there. I think that part of the reason why he slid down was because of off the field issues, and hopefully he's learned from his mistakes there. Part of the reason why is because he had below average measurables during the combine and pro day, and quite frankly, I think we've seen on a number of occasions where guys just excel during pro days and combines and then turned out to be nothing in the NFL and vice versa. I think we all realize at this point that we should take those, statistics as a grain of salt. And worst case scenario, like I said, he's cut. Best case, he's a contributor. And who knows, maybe he gets beyond that. But one thing that we can all agree on is that the Rams generally have a good scouting with the players in the secondary. We have some pretty solid coaches there too. So I'm all for this pick and hopefully it works out.
Well, we'll see if you have the same takes on measurables when we talk about the next pick the Rams made. I honestly agree with pretty much everything you said. It's a blue blood school. There's Jordan Fuller, potential here for me as a guy you can just walk in and wow people immediately, as he did when he switched to cornerback at Clemson. So I really like this pick. Even though we're adding a lot of talent into this cornerback room, I'd be surprised unless he really comes in and has issues off the field. I'd be surprised if he doesn't make the day one roster. It seems like a really nice pick to me. The next pick, Johnny, speaking of measurables, and speaking of the Rams loving to get me hyped about seventh round linebackers, they take a pick 35, Montana State outside linebacker Daniel Hardy. According to MathBomb's relative athletic score, which ranks pure measurables and athleticism based on a variety of stuff, I'm sure including combine stats, size, yada yada, this guy, even though he's coming from a small school, he has the 161st highest score for the linebacker, any linebacker prospect since 1987. It doesn't sound like a high number, but it's out of 2,419. And we're talking about a seventh round pick. So clearly, if the guy's grading out that fucking high, he needs a lot of work. But that's enough for me, man. That's enough to take this guy in the seventh round for me. This pick doesn't really matter. It's a defensive end out of small school. Where have we heard that before? Talked about this last year with Chris Garrett. But whatever, man. There's upside here. There's potential. It's the seventh round. Love this kind of shit. This is what gets me hyped in the draft, dude.
I have to say, there wasn't a single pick that the Rams did in the 2022 NFL draft that I hated. But if I had to pick one, this was one that I was less excited about. And the reason being is because, not that I have anything against, Hardy. I think that, hey, if he pans out to a contributor or a special teamer, why not? I'm all for it. But yeah, I already have Chris Garrett. Did you really need another one? I don't know. It's a seventh round pick. Do you hate it? No, not really. I mean they just kind of found a guy that has pretty good measurables, kind of the opposite end there. And he played extremely well in his small school, and that's great. But again, it's basically Chris Garrett 2022. And
I mean, dude, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that they're not invested in Chris Garrett, and that because they have him in the roster, that doesn't mean they would stop them from drafting another potential Chris Garrett.
I guess, but. I don't know. For me, I don't hate the pick. I'm by all means, draft this guy. He's a seventh round pick. But it's probably the one I'm least excited about, because I think we all know where this is going. And hopefully he makes an impact. I mean, stranger things have happened, I guess.
Well, I mean, to play devil's advocate, we came on the pod after they drafted Clay Johnson, like expecting him to compete for a starting job, and he didn't make the roster. So, like, nobody fucking knows with seventh-round picks, dude. They're an absolute mystery.
I mean, I still think that that could have been, you know, he could have still contributed. But, I mean, there was so much not going right at inside linebacker. And, boy, have the tables turned there. But, yeah, I mean, that's a fair point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, inside linebacker. Arguably the going to be the most productive position on the defense next year, which is insane from where we were, I mean, even a year ago. Round 7, pick 253, they take Russ Yeast, safety out of Kansas State. No, he seems fine. Looks like he's a good coverage safety. He has experience returning kicks, which I would have been fucking freaking out on this podcast a year ago, but we brought back our guy Brandon Powell. They, you know, they drafted your boy in the last round, Quentin Lake. I feel like this guy's probably not going to make the team. We have a lot of safeties, but I wish him the best. You know, maybe he will. Yeah, I wouldn't say Terrell Burgess is a lock to make the team at this point. So
no,
that's a spot that can be taken. I don't really expect him to take more than 5 safeties though, on the roster.
And I think that's what you basically have to look at here is who's expendable at this point, because clearly the Rams weren't happy with their, you know, safety situation if they went ahead and drafted 2 safeties. Mind you, Yeast is a 7th-round pick, but still, I mean, they're clearly not satisfied there. You know, Jordan Fuller is about the only guy I feel like, you know, Jordan Fuller and Nick Scott, I would say, are about the only 2 guys that the Rams are really comfortable with, you know, giving a roster spot to, and the rest I think are fringe candidates, you know, including Taylor Rapp. So
Taylor Rapp is not getting cut. Well,
are you sure?
I guess if he doesn't, like, I guess if they like the other, if Quentin Lake wows, like, oh, really wows, I could see them trading Taylor Rapp.
Yes.
For a late round pick. I don't think they'd outright cut him. Because if they outright cut him, I don't know. The only reason I could see them doing that is so he could go like find a new landing spot, but I'd be shocked if they couldn't get a 7th-round pick for Taylor Rapp.
Yeah. I think that they would ultimately try and trade him, considering they can. But I do think that the more cuttable candidate here would be Terrell Burgess, because it's a shame, because we saw in his rookie year that Terrell Burgess has had potential, but last year he looked lost out there, man.
And they clearly do not trust him at all. You know, the reason you said Taylor Rapp was the reason they brought back Eric Weddle, it was because they don't trust Terrell Burgess at all.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. I was a little harsh. Little.
A little, but it's still fair. I mean, do you like Russ Yeast as a prospect? I'll be honest, man. We're in the 7th round. I didn't do a lot of research on Russ Yeast or AJ Akiri, who we're about to talk about.
Russ Yeast, I do think, is a guy that they just, you know, they see potential in him. And again, this is a team that scouts safeties extremely well, probably better than any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I'm all for Russ Yeast. You know, I think this is someone that could potentially try and contribute on this NFL team. Why not?
In their last pick of the draft, 261, they took AJ Arcuri. I think I got that right. Off the tackle out of Michigan State. He's big. He's 6'7", 308 pounds. Played both sides at tackle, has potential to play guard. So, again, the versatile kind of player the Rams like. Zabadi, you know, there are depth spots available at offensive line. I'm not going to complain about them adding an offensive lineman, even though, you know, reading his profile, it's not something you're going to get stoked at. But the guy went fucking 261. Like, there's, I don't know. It's a fine pick. If he doesn't make the team, who cares? If he does, hey, dope.
I believe you pronounce his name AJ Akuri.
Akuri, okay.
Akuri. I could be wrong.
Dude, I think his draft profile had his pronunciation, so let me look that up while you talk about him.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, this is the time of year where Steve and I butcher names. It happens every season, and I'm pretty sure at this point we still butcher a few names. Some names are just hard to pronounce.
Akuri.
Okay. So I wasn't too far off.
Yeah. Well, you're close enough.
Yeah. So AJ Akuri, I think is just as you said, Steve, a big body out there. I mean, and at pick 261, you draft a massive dude, you know? Why not? You know, I feel like this is a guy that if he has any sort of potential whatsoever, the Rams will tap into it. And at worst comes at best, you know, this guy ends up being a backup, offensive lineman that the Rams can be happy to have around for years. And hopefully replace guys like Chandler Brewer, or Zach Pritchard, or Max Pritchard rather.
didn't even know enough to correct you.
Yeah. It says a lot right there, but, yeah, I have no qualms about the Rams drafting him here. Last pick in their last pick. So why not be a depth or potential depth that, you know, he could be a guy that they keep on the practice squad. And I don't think there would be any issues there.
I mean, Tremaine Ankrum was picked around this level and he's still on the team, on the active roster. So definitely possible for this guy to make the team. Then that's it. That's the whole draft. We'll talk about, undrafted free agents on a later pod. I will say that a lot of people were pushing for punters in this draft. The Rams didn't take one, but four got drafted. I don't know if that's a record, but two of them going in the fourth round has to be a first. So big day for the brand, for the punters. You know, I would have loved for them to take a punter in the seventh, but when the top three punters are already off the board in the seventh round, you know, I do not blame them for not going that route.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this was kind of a historic draft for punters, because typically speaking, there's only like one or two punters drafted. So the fact that there was so many in this year's draft, that's something.
Yeah, if Matt Areza was still there in the seventh round, I would have been throwing a fit on this podcast. But he was not there. So it is what it is. I mean, dude, you got any final thoughts on this draft class before we go? We got a lot of time to fill before the season starts. So we can keep talking about this bad boy next week.
You know, just that I was real happy with what I saw in this year's draft. I feel like this was not only a direction that, we all kind of hoped that was going to go, but at the same time, I feel like it also reinforced the idea that the Rams really didn't have a huge amount of needs in the NFL, going into the NFL draft. And the fact that they addressed some major needs, while it may not be the complete solution, it does help quite a bit. And this leaves a lot to talk about, because we'll talk on the next podcast, you know, what this NFL draft basically means for the rest of the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, there was three big positions in need. Cornerback, they added a shitload of those. Interior offensive lineman, they added one with their first pick. Edge rusher, we did not add. There's still guys out there. We'll see what happens. Definitely
what about
something worth
Daniel Hardy.
I mean, listen, I'm excited for the pick. I'm not falling for Chris Garrett again either. I'm just, when you draft a guy with that crazy of an athletic profile in the seventh round, fuck it, man. Let's see what happens. I'm in. I'll take Chris Garrett every single year if they're available. One of them's got to pan out. Maybe not. Who knows? Who knows?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. All right. Well, this is fun. Sorry we've been missing a couple pods. It's been a crazy couple of months, but we'll be back with plenty of off-season content next week. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Steve Ribeiro, at Johnny5Not6, at Talk Rams, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
How would you evaluate your season?
I think we ain't done yet.
You personally?
I think we ain't done yet. Mm-hmm.